The Lord be with you. Millions of people in this country are in enormous economic peril and pain. It's reminded me that I've had a heart for small business owners for some time. I don't know how big-hearted I felt about small businesses until the days just after September 11th, 2001. My heart needed a way to respond to the devastating effect on businesses in New York City after the Twin Towers were destroyed by terrorists using passenger planes as missiles. So I went to New York to spend money in a few small businesses. And that same year, I accomplished all of my Christmas shopping without stepping into a single big box store. I didn't step into a single mall. I purchased my gifts on Main Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and that's a practice I mainly keep to this day. Having a heart for small businesses lets me keep my favorite restaurants going during the coronavirus emergency by picking up food curbside. My goal was to offer a bit of recognition to the places that recognize my face when I come in for a meal. My goal was to provide a morsel of consolation to anxious small business owners. And it was easy to do. I dialed up the restaurant, I placed my order, I got in the car, I drove to the restaurant, I pulled off by the curb, they handed me my food, I picked it up, I drove home, I ate it, and it was easy. My heart for small business owners is full of admiration, especially the ones that don't try to cultivate my loyalty with cheesy gimmicks that get me a free cup of coffee after I've bought 10 from their store before. Here, take one of our punch cards, or go online and apply for our rewards card. Punch cards and rewards cards that jam up your wallet or lay in the center console of your car. Do you have those in your car right now? Getting something for nothing is the scheme, but you do give something. You give your loyalty. Yes, I have a heart for small businesses, particularly for the ones that receive me, that welcome me, that recognize my face when I come in and do all they can to help me accomplish the goal I have when I cross their threshold. On the surface, the goal is always transactional. I desire a cup of coffee. They make it for me. I pay for it. I drink it. It satisfies me. Transactional. But when my face is recognized, when I hear them speak my name, when an inquiry about my family or my work comes across the counter, the reward isn't merely a satisfying cup of coffee. The reward is the hospitality. Relational. Transaction or relation. Now, which is it here in Matthew 10, 40 to 42, that speaks about rewards? Now, ordinarily, this reading, chapter 10, verses 40 to 52, is connected to the reading from last week, but I detached them. I separated them so that I could focus specifically on these three verses. That sermon last week was about the reversal of family values as we understand it, where Jesus' speech about family is divisive. It's divisive and it's unorthodox rather than orthodox. You may recall the divisive Jesus saying that he hasn't come for peace. No, he hasn't come for peace. He's come for division, for a son to split from a father, for a mother-in-law to split from a daughter-in-law, all for Jesus' sake. The end of last week's reading has become something of a watered-down now sentimental Christian proverb. Take up your cross, lose your life for my sake. Do we really know what that means? Do we really know if Jesus meant it? What did Jesus mean? Did he mean those words? Of course he did. A better question might be, do you know what Jesus means? In order to understand, we need to know a little bit about biblical family values to understand. Family is everything in the ancient Near East. In the ancient Near Eastern world, families are the essential social grouping. And families are always large in number for survival and for status. Large families make it more certain that enough food and water and supplies are there to live a good long life. And large families make it more certain that such stability and status will bring recognition and admiration from others, enhancing the honor of the family's name. You see, it's all about honor. The larger and more stable the family, the more the mentality is, our family stands apart from other families. It's our family against everyone else in the ancient Near East. To be unmarried, to be childless, or to voluntarily leave the family is considered insanity. It's dishonorable. No one in the ancient Near East would deliberately be so dishonorable. Only the insane would do so. And Jesus did so. Jesus left his home and presumably his widowed mother in Nazareth to become an itinerant prophet who neither married nor had children. There's a gospel story about this when one day the widow and the mother Mary and Jesus' family show up to take him back to Nazareth. Someone says to Jesus, he's in someone's house, "Jesus, your mom and your sisters and your brothers are outside the door. They're worried about you. They want to take you home." "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Jesus replies. Here is my family," he says, as he gestures towards his disciples and his other followers. With Jesus, there's an entirely new reality to family. Jesus' new family isn't blood or genome or land or old ideas of honor. No, Jesus' family is connected in commitment by bonds of loyalty and friendship. Jesus' family isn't transactional. It's relational. It's also costly. Jesus expects his family to love him above everything and everyone. "Whoever loves dad and mom more than me isn't worthy of me. Whoever fails to take up their cross and follow me isn't worthy of me," says Jesus. It's a cross-weighted burden to leave your family and follow Jesus. If you don't do it, you can't be his family. What's the reward for such loyal love? That's where our reading picks up today. Reward? Isn't it strange to hear Jesus speak of rewards? Is that what we get or seek from Jesus, a key fob full of rewards cards and loyalty punch cards? Sadly, I think for some Christians, faith is all about the transactional. You die for me, I believe in you, I go to heaven, sign me up. Transaction. Or could it be much more than that? There's a Greek word in this reading that has two meanings. It's the word misthos. Misthos can mean the reward of wages for a job well done, or it can mean a reward like heirloom tomatoes, ripening on your vines because you've tilled the soil, pulled the weeds, nurtured the soil, fed the plants, and watered the roots the right amount. The relationship between the gardener and the tomato transcends the transactional. There's a feeling of consolation that after long weeks of tending the vines, the fruit comes in and satisfies the body and the soul. This meaning is what Jesus has in mind in today's reading. Two consolations. When you leave the world you know behind to follow Jesus, you have the consolation of a new family to care for you. This is what Jesus means by living in the kingdom of heaven. We live in heaven now. Baptism is our birth story into the new heaven. The second consolation is the healing received when the weight of the cross laid on us by following his way instead of our way is overwhelming. under its burden, we find God there, lifting our cross with us. Imagine during these last weeks of the people consoling the dying because of COVID-19 while separated from their families. The doctors, the nurses, the techs, the housekeepers who stepped in to hold a hand or whisper a word of comfort when dying families couldn't be with their family member who was dying. They became the dying person's new family. It's the weighty cross of loving others before ourselves, and the consolation that God is there, bearing the weight of sadness with you. Or imagine during these weeks after the death of George Floyd, the passion-filled people peacefully protesting for a more loving and equitable America for all people, regardless of their physical characteristics, subjected to the words and actions that are so vile. See the chefs who cooked food for them. See the neighbors who gifted bottles of cold water for the marchers marching for love and justice. See the responders responding to nurse the wounds from rubber bullets shot, from bottles thrown and fists hurled. God is there too. Those who fail to take up the cross, Jesus says, and walk by my side are not worthy of me. Did Jesus really say that? He did. Yes, he most surely did. Is it transactional or relational? I want you to decide if it's transactional or relational as I read to you my translation of the Greek text of Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me is receiving the one who sent me out to you. Whoever welcomes a prophet just because the prophet is called a prophet will get a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a good-hearted person just because they are a good-hearted person will get a good-hearted person's reward. And whoever gives even a refreshing drink of water to one of these humble ones, just because they are called disciples, amen, I tell you, they will by no means lose their consolation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.